epistle to be read today for Palm Sunday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2. Brethren, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but abased himself, taking the form of a servant, being made to the likeness of men, and in a habit found as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those that are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of God the Father. In the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 21. At that time, when Jesus drew nigh to Jerusalem and was come to Bethpage unto Mount Olivet, and then he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, Go ye into the village that is over against you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to them to me. And if any man shall say anything to you, say ye that the Lord hath need of them, and forthwith he will let them go. Now all this was done that the word might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Sion, Behold, the king cometh to thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey. And the disciples going, did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their garments upon them, and made him sit thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. And others cut down the boughs from trees, and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And the multitudes cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. These words are taken from the proper last Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the city of Naples, a miracle occurs almost 18 times a year. The miracle happens on various feasts connected with St. Januarius, who is the principal patron of that city. You may be familiar with this wonder, and there's a small glass vial. The vial is half filled with black, thick, muddy substance. It is, in fact, the blood of that holy martyr, which is hardened and solidified. Now a priest takes that vial containing the blood, and he holds it close to the relic, which is the head of St. Januarius. People from all over the world crowd the church to witness this miracle. After some time, ranging from 2 minutes to an hour, the dark mass, which is up to then was solid and immovable, detaches itself from the sides of the glass and becomes liquid. It changes color. It turns from the dark black to a blood red, and even bubbles as if boiling. And it increases in its volume, filling the entire vial. When this occurs, the priest announces that the miracle has happened. And immediately the Te Deum is intoned, and the excited assembly joins in singing the hymn of thanksgiving. Records of this miracle go back over 400 years, and I don't think any other miracle has been examined more carefully, more often, or by the people of various religions, than this liquefaction of the blood of St. Januarius. And consequently, even today, in this age of disbelief, no one can deny that what is said to happen does, in fact, happen. It is an awe-filling experience, and no one can question that. But what is this liquefaction of mere human blood compared to what takes place at every Mass? At Mass, we relive the events on Calvary. For the Mass is a sacramental sacrifice, perpetuating in an unbloody manner the sacrifice of the cross. And so Jesus Christ is offered and offers himself at every Mass, giving God infinite glory and satisfaction. At the Mass, as we look upon the host, we can truly say we are looking upon the same person that the Jews looked upon that first Good Friday morning, as they accused Jesus to Pontius Pilate. We are in the presence of the same one that the Roman soldiers ridiculed and treated so contemptuously. In literal truth, it is the same Jesus Christ at Mass as at Calvary. Truly, it is the continuation of the sacrifice on Calvary. In the Mass, the Son of God, the true God, is present to take away the sins of the world. And yet, what is your reaction, or the reaction of the rest of the faithful to the Mass? Compare it to that reaction shown by the faithful at Naples when the priest announces that the miracle has happened. You see, when we go to Mass, we should be saying to ourselves, I am going to see God. And that is the one thought that should be uppermost in your mind. As you set out for Mass, say to yourself, I am going to see God. And the better you realize this truth and understand what the Mass really and truly is, you will begin to see more and more why the Mass must be your life. The Mass is the source of all graces and your holiness. And so it truly gives purpose and meaning to your life. Now, my dear faithful, today we celebrate the marvelous feast of Palm Sunday. It marks the beginning of Holy Week. I have just mentioned why the Mass must be so important to us. In fact, it is truly the only thing that really matters for us. And today the Church sets aside this entire week to relive the last week our Lord spent on earth. And of course, it is centered around the Mass and our Lord's death upon the cross. But each day we truly live again the last moments that our Savior spent on this earth. And today for Palm Sunday, we relive our Lord's magnificent entry into Jerusalem on the Sunday before he died. In the Gospel that we will read at the end of Mass, St. Matthew describes the procession. The Jewish leaders were already plotting Christ's death, and yet our Lord rode the donkey as a glorious king who enters the city after a victorious battle. And a great multitude gathered to welcome our Lord as their Messiah and King. Indeed, the procession into Jerusalem was a glorious sight to behold. The next day we really begin Holy Week ceremonies is on Wednesday, which is called Spy Wednesday, because Judas plotted that night with the Jewish leaders to betray our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And we begin that night by singing Tenebrae. Tenebrae is a part of the divine office that the sisters will sing here at the chapel. This they will also do on Thursday and Friday evening. Tenebrae consists of psalms and some lessons and readings taken from sacred scripture and some of the church fathers. They mostly talk about the coming of the Redeemer and all that he would suffer in his passion and death. And then on Thursday, we will commemorate the first Holy Thursday, when our Lord instituted the sacred priesthood and offered the first Mass the night before he died. To commemorate this, we will have the Mass in the morning, and during Mass, Bishop will consecrate the sacred oils. These are the holy oils which the priests will use throughout the coming year to administer the sacraments. We will celebrate Mass as our Lord did that first Holy Thursday. And then we will process with the Blessed Sacrament to the altar of repose. And this is a special altar that we will set up in a separate room with flowers and candles. We will place our Lord there for the night, and we will take turns going to this altar to keep our Lord company. And this especially commemorates our Lord's great sufferings and agony in the garden, and also being imprisoned the entire night of his arrest. On Good Friday morning, we will celebrate what is called the Mass of the Pre-Sanctified, and we will venerate the cross in a most special way, as it is the symbol of our salvation and the hope of mankind. And then from 12 noon until 3 p.m. on Friday, we recite the rosary, we make the stations, and have talks about the passion are given. And this will help us think about and meditate on our Lord's passion and death, since it was during these 3 hours that he hung upon the cross. And finally, on Holy Saturday, we have the blessing of the new fire. We have the blessing of the Paschal candle and the reading of the prophecies, and then the first Mass of Easter. And in this way, we truly relive and perpetuate that solemn but most wonderful week of mankind's redemption. Now, my dear faithful, we see that the people in today's gospel welcome our Lord into Jerusalem and even proclaim him to be the Messiah. But how sad it is that in only 5 days, these same people will be crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." How quickly people forget all that our Lord has done for them. And this was one of our Lord's greatest sufferings during his entire passion. Now, of course, we must not be like the people in the gospel who praised our Lord on Sunday and clamored for his death on Friday. But all too often, Catholics go to Mass on Sunday and then forget our Lord during the rest of the week. Now, I mentioned the miracle of the blood of St. Januarius. And if I told you that this week we would be showing the relic here at the chapel and watching the blood turn into liquid and boil, would you not make every effort to be here? Would you not take off work and clear your schedule and do anything necessary to be sure that you came to witness this miracle? Well, as I mentioned, we have something far greater than this miracle. We have God himself coming down upon the altar just for you. He comes to be sacrificed for mankind. In this week, Holy Week, we relive those glorious events that made all these graces possible. We have our Lord instituting the priesthood, offering the first Mass, and dying upon the cross to save us and prove his love for us. And what on earth can be more important or of greater consequence than these ceremonies that we are so blessed to have at this chapel? And so I encourage you to make the necessary sacrifices to be here for some of the ceremonies this week, and also strive to make a good confession in order to be better prepared for the Easter ceremonies. And let us strive to increase our love and devotion to the sacred passion and death of our Lord. And you can do this by growing in your love and devotion for the Mass. For the Mass is the same sacrifice as the cross. It is a continuation of the sacrifice on Calvary. Because the victim is one and the same, the priest is one and the same. The only difference is that it is offered in an unbloody way. So prove to our Lord, then, that you really appreciate all that he has done for you. And show him that you are not like the crowd who hailed him on that first Palm Sunday, and then praise him only on Sunday and forget about him during the week. Gary Gu Lagrange warned in the early 1900s that when the faithful gradually cease to attend Mass, they progressively lose the meaning of Christianity, the meaning of things of the Spirit in eternity. Pray to God that this will not befall any of us, and resolve to do something for our Lord in return for all that he has done for you. Be generous with your time this week, especially this Friday. For how can you love anything else when you see Jesus loving you unto death? And as St. Jerome says, we were redeemed by his blood. We must desire nothing else than to do his holy will. And so let us pray to Our Lady and ask her to help you to have a greater understanding and appreciation for Holy Mass and our Lord's sacred passion and death. And often remember the infinite value of the Mass when you attend the Holy Sacrifice, and pray that the Mass you attend may radiate its graces throughout the entire world, especially to those places where the Holy Sacrifice is no longer celebrated, and where the faithful are gradually losing the habit of going to Mass. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.